revelation and its power to change. It's kind of moving in a sound that I'm hearing the Lord ask from me, which is to give us all as many skills, tools, confidence in the voice of the Lord, so we're not stuck in any kind of thinking that we are outside of that communion, that sound, that voice. What all that means is so much light flowing in here and all that. Did you hear how Diana started singing? You know, it's bigger on the inside than on the outside. And in that sound, you could step into that, because that was a revelation she was singing out to the Lord Jesus. And whenever you hear Jesus or discern something of Jesus and acknowledge it, that there's an empowerment in the sound of acknowledgement. It's the agreement with the voice. And if you agree with what you see, then you'll see more. If you acknowledge what you hear, then you hear more. And I was sitting, and the Lord said, just watch right there's an object, Les, I want you to point out to everyone tonight, because one of the things I want to encourage my body in is that they do see, they do hear, and all they need to do is acknowledge what they see, what they hear, and they'll see more and hear more. So it's stepping beyond that, like, well, is this the Lord or not? Just, yeah, it is the Lord, and I hear, and this is what I see. And he's the best audience you'll ever have to say what you see and what you hear. In fact, I'm convinced that if you see wrong and tell him you see him, he'll show you him and what you saw wrong. Because he just delights in the fact of anyone moving toward his voice, moving toward him into the sound, into the sight. And every time you move in that direction, he will do everything. He'll rearrange the interpretation so that you flow into an encounter. It's just, aren't you glad God's the one who's trying to get us to find him more than us trying to get him? I mean, if he was playing hide and seek and didn't want to be found, trust me, he has many places to hide. And we have no place to hide, because we are naked and before him, and the eyes of him, we have to give an account. We're going to, two things. We're going to start an internship called the Father's Heart Internship, and this Sunday is we're asking to finalize registration for 18 to 40-year-olds with the intention of journeying together Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, and then on once a Sunday for a lunch afternoon. With that, of course, there'll be things to learn, things to practice, skills to develop, community to build. And it's about coming into intimacy, coming into presence, coming into an awareness and a walking together with God, and enjoyment of God and fellowship with God. So I'm excited about it. And if you're inside of that, if you felt the Lord draw you, if you've ever heard him say, seek my face, and you said, my heart said, I will seek your face, and you're awakening to that desire, this will be probably a core group of people processing, because of the commitment they make, into an encounter of real exchange in eternity. Having said that, one thing that has blessed my heart, it started when I was in Britain. I was walking around, and Cammie and I were flying home, and I said, you know, the thing that I'm so thrilled with is that the things the Lord has shown me for so many years, and in specifically these last 5 years, are now like people are asking the question that I have an answer for. As opposed to sometimes you can see something, it's so far, far ahead of where the body is that the body isn't even asking the question. So therefore, whatever you're saying is it carries no value, because it doesn't meet the point where people are at. So I think, wow, that's exciting. And then here at home, I've had enough inquiries. Can I come? I'm only a few years over 40, or, you know, I need this. I need to learn. My passion's growing. And I've, you know, and Allie and setting up and praying, and I know the value of creating a community inside a spectrum of a journeying group. So I really want to respect that, and I think that's the Lord, the parameters that we set in place. But I felt like the Lord said, I want you to, I thought, well, can I do another internship? Maybe I'll do, the 40-plus internship. I thought, well, there's not enough for me to go around, and that'll be dividing, and that'll be, that'll crash. What, besides, what would you call it? The externship? Anyway, over the weekend, because this is since Sunday, I've been really praying on this. And the Lord said, why don't you do this? And he started opening possibilities and thought and ideas. And I'm going to throw this out for your prayer, because I want to hear any feedback. He said, what if you did a five-week series on a Wednesday, like we've been doing, a 6 o'clock service, 7 o'clock service? What if you were able to set a group of people who committed to be together for 5 weeks? It's not the same commitment as a 9-month commitment, but it still goes past the point where we are in public gatherings when people come and go as whatever's happening to their life. When instead we go, okay, we're going to find a way to walk together so we can learn and practice the presence of God today. And the thought that began to unfold, and I'm not sure if this is possible, is if we could meet at 5:30 to 6:45, we could have an enlarged time of conversation. But if that eliminates too many people who have a desire to get discerning of the voice, get to become aware of presence, get to enter into eternity, to discover the things that you're hearing me say and others say, and you're going, well, I want that, but I'm not sure how to what's the grid on that? And you could get here at 6, and that's my thing I'm asking the Lord. Is it 6 to 6:50, and we tighten it up a little bit? Or do we have the time for a longer conversation? We'll probably not even do it in the sanctuary, just because I think that we're for 5 weeks to separate a group of people that come away and say, okay, here we are, this is classroom, here's some parameters, here's some skills, here's some things we're learning. Then go into the service at 7 o'clock, practicing the very things we were learning inside the service, to which the next week we could ask, okay, we were in the same room in the same moment. How were you hearing? What were you seeing? We were learning this posture of hearing. How did that work? As well as, what did you do with the skill set that we were employing in our week? How did that work for you? And where's the questions? And all of that leading up, starting like at the, if we do this, we'd start like after Labor Day on the Wednesday, and then we'd go up into our conference, which is 5-6 weeks later. So for 5 weeks, we could meet. And one of the things I want to encourage all of us, whether that makes sense to you or not, or resonates, is to take Isaiah 35 and spend some time in that chapter and promise and discover for yourself, what is God saying to me? What is he saying to us? And open yourself to that chapter. Because the more you are open to that chapter, I promise you, the more of God will show up during our Highway 35 conference, October 8th through the 11th. So what I'm asking for your prayers, A, internship, that's the place you're focused. Please get registered by Sunday. B, if that isn't time commitment allotted or age requirement, anything, consider coming and separating yourself, your schedule, 5:30 to 6:45 or 6 to 6:50. One is an hour and 15 minutes. I'll figure that. We'll hear that. We'll sort that out by next Wednesday. And B, and you couldn't do that, then 7 o'clock, we will kind of touch on the same subjects, but we won't be able to have done it with the practical details that we were doing prior. So different layers, but the intention of the entire leaning in that direction is, I really think that we're coming into the age that those who know his presence, hear his voice, live inside eternity, can walk in the unseen, in the midst of the scene, not moved by what they see because they see something one more wonderful, can be filled with the fullness of God, can enter into Scripture, can experience in him spirit, soul, body, emotional, mental, all these aspects. That's going to be the people that will be reigning on earth with Christ, that will be helping shift the planet to welcome the coming Messiah. And I believe you're the group. I believe we're all the group here in this room. And that this is why God's stirred up, or for some of us, journeyed for years, decades, into the presence of God, into the voice of God, into the sound of God, into the discovery of God. And now is the time to accompany people, begin to carry God in his revealing of himself that will bring hope, healing, light, and deliverance. And so when we get to the conference, which is during Sukkot, and this Feast of Tabernacles, it's always a supernatural time. This is the first conference in 3.5 years. God said, here, I'm going to give you a script. I'm going to give you a score for an orchestra. I'm going to give you a sound. Here's the music you're going to hear, the music you're going to sing. Not literally music by singing Isaiah 35, although that's certainly possible. But I'm going to trust you with a script. The last two conferences, as we would pray and get ready, basically we'd keep hearing the Lord say, just keep backing in, don't look. Which is a real, he always does that in my life when he's saying, learning to let go of the old and familiar and coming into the new that you may not be ready to receive if you were to see it before it's time. So you kind of have to just back in and let me show you what I'm doing. And he's been so gracious and so rich. But I am really looking forward to this coming conference, probably more than any I've had, because I just feel like we're coming to a point of an arrival. So get the scripture, let that become a part of you. Pray, let me know, can you come here at 5:30? Oh no, I can't, but I got to be here. If 6 o'clock is the time, I'll find a way to compress my teaching. Whatever we do, we'll start a registration in a week, and it'll be a commitment to come for all 5 weeks. Oh, if I miss a week because we're on vacation, can I still come? Of course you can. I just feel like the reason of an internship or the reason of a class is there has to be, this stuff just doesn't come free. Cost you your life. I can't give you what I have learned just by telling you something and you go, oh, that makes sense. Half of it won't make sense until you try it. Some of it you'll be questioning all the way into an experience. Then once you have the experience, you'll go, wow, that really is real. But the point is even more so that a lot of times, like right now, I'm doing it again. I have a mixture of people. We've all come from a different day, different life, different journey, different backgrounds, different theologies, different belief systems, different experiences. And as a pastor, I feel, and it's right, I move with the group faith. I move with the unit and the understanding and the readiness and the yieldedness. So sometimes I can have something that the Lord just wants to release, but it takes 50 minutes till there's a readiness to receive, because it should be. Your soul, as though it is a filter, it's like the mind is a beautiful filter, and if you don't honor the will, the mind, the emotions, and experience and culture and tradition, and allow people to discover with revelation and just say, here's the answer, people will go, no, it's not, and it shuts down. So a lot of times we are a company of people growing. Wednesday night's always deeper than Sunday morning, because Sunday morning is a larger group of people from a larger spectrum of time and life, so we can go only as far in. Now that changes if Holy Spirit dumps down with an outpouring of glory. But that never really happens without a company of people who are carrying the same sound. And that's what God's been doing in the midst of us. So I want to endeavor to say, okay, there's a bunch of spectrums, a bunch of dimensions of God that you have to be aware of. And it's like sailing or any sport or any art. There are multiple disciplines that you have learned. And once you have learned multiple disciplines, whether it's in music or dance or singing or mathematics or science or sales, once you've learned and become aware of and practiced them in different settings, you can begin to move in them so naturally that you're not even aware you're observing disciplines. Do you understand what I mean? And that's what I want to practice enough that we can get everybody the skill set that we can go, okay, let's go. So having said that, tonight I'm going to talk about two simple things. Revelation, how it comes. And then I want to share with you the first time I had a revelation out of one of Apostle Paul's prayer and how it felt. Because a lot of times, I want everybody, you are hearing God more than you know you are. And you are, there's more of God being discerned than you're ready to give credit to. And I want to free that up. I want to give you permission to step into some exciting times. So here we are. Jesus is in verse 13, chapter 16, came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Welcome everybody on the internet. This is going to be a moment of discovery for you. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." There's always going to be a lot of talk about a lot of things. And the first thing I want to encourage you as a believer, don't gain your opinions of God from other people. Learn when they're helpful, but don't let that be what frames who you know God to be. Don't let your iPod worship for you. Don't let other people teach you what God's telling you. Hear enough to engage and then learn to hear you for yourself. You follow me? A lot of times people just don't give them, they don't get quiet. Just to listen. So therefore, they're just hearing. And we're in a generation that kids below, you know, the 20 plus under, are such a technological, vicarious experience generation that they're liable to not even be able to, in some ways they're so raw, but in another way they're so shallow. The depth of like longevity of an experience with God. So you've got to not go by what others are saying. So Jesus asks the next question, but who do you say I am? And that's the most important thing tonight, is who do you say Jesus is? And watch this, because you'll really... Peter steps up, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now I want to tell you about revelation. Revelation is something given to you, not something you arrived at. You didn't figure it out, you didn't discover it. It's like it was hidden and the lid was taken off and you can see. You may not even know what you're seeing, you may not even know the value of what you're seeing. Most of the time you never do. You just see something you hadn't saw before. Before it was covered, now it's uncovered. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that through effort, through means, talent, IQ, experience, tradition, training. You got it from my Father. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Immediately. Now I want to show you this. It'll take you about a second. Revelation, something you see that you were willing to say, when I pray, I say, I actually pray to meet God. That is my desire in prayer. I rarely go to get things done or accomplished, partly because I've learned that most of the stuff I want done and accomplished, he not really cares about, because he's in eternity and he's got a bigger plan than the moment I'm in and he's trying to get out of. So I practice going into his moment. How are you? Where are you? Who are you? I know who you are. I praise you. I worship you. But there'll come a moment that you'll sense something unique about what may be normal, common. You may be praising him with a song, but all of a sudden a phrase. That's what I was trying to point out with Diana. When all of a sudden she's singing, it's bigger on the inside than on the outside. And it's when you're just at that moment, just say, "You are. I see. I hear. You're doing." Because it's the confession, willingness to say what we are barely perceiving, just not altogether sure, not sure if we would be willing to tell somebody else. It's like, because you just wouldn't, you wouldn't be fully confident. But when you say the excitement of God that will stir, like Jesus, whoa, you didn't figure that out, Peter. I know who you are. You're not that smart. That came from Father. And then unfolding revelation accompanies that little revelation. And he says to you, you now are going to be Peter. You are going to be a rock where I build upon the rock of my me being the Christ. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against my church. He's just going into, and this is God. You have to understand God. He just, and I say this in a human frailty factor, he doesn't know how to limit his speech. Once he gets, someone opens their understanding for a moment of discovery, he'll go off. So if you're just Peter, you know, huh? You changed my name? What's wrong with Cephas? I mean, what's wrong with Simon? I like being a reed. I'm flexible. Now you'll be a rock. Oh, okay, what's that mean? Well, you're going to, gates of hell are not going to prevail against church. I'm going to build my church. So he's going to, oh, wow, whoa. He's just saying something. You're not, he's not, he's no more aware of really what this leading to than what, than any of us are when we're having a moment. Sometimes the voice of God, when we, something's taken off and you start to look, don't try to bring a conclusion to it right away. Don't try to bring a, where does this fits in that? Or this is about that? Or this is, applies to that situation? Or this is the answer to that? Just like going to a kitchen and smell what's being cooked. Just take the aroma in. Take the moment in. Take the, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. And then there's something enlarging and you're trying to sort it out, but you can't. Because God will, the revelation, and I got to move a little faster, but the revelation of Christ will, as it becomes a part of us, will lead us to a crisis of ourself. And that's why so many times we can't sort out what's happening, because next thing Peter knows is Jesus talking about dying. He's, one moment he's telling we're going to have a triumphant church that cannot be defeated by hell. And he's talking about dying. Now you tell me, where do those two go together? And Peter, now, Peter's now out of the moment of discovery. Now he's trying to make, go in the moment of processing. Let's make sense of what I'm hearing. Let's make application. How does this fit in my life? And that's where a lot of times revelation never was meant to fit in the moment of your life. It's just meant to be absorbed into the moment of your life to affect you for the rest of your life. And it may take you the rest of your life to understand what he meant when he said that one moment in your life. But Peter, he's like going, I'm Peter now, I'm the rock. I can give Jesus now a pep talk. He's off. And so he comes alive. In verse 22, it says he rebukes him by saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall happen to you. And so Peter, now, Jesus now looks to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Jesus, the man, Messiah, is now saying, Peter, now your words to me are going to be a stumbling block. They're going to influence, affect me. Get behind me. He says, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. So, revelation, something, you are the Christ, Son of the living God, something's happening, some words you're hearing, a sense, the scripture's coming alive, going, this one really all of a sudden speaking to me, something's happening. Then there's this part where all the scripture calls us to love. It calls us to lay down our life. It calls us to trust. It could, for me, it's become one word. It calls me to yield. I just always in a give place to God, and then many times give place to evil, because then God will have an access to the place. It's just, it's not, it's counterintuitive. It is not how I was raised, and it's not how my fears force me to try to act. So it's something like I'm going, whoa. Peter's just moved in emotion to the obvious conclusion. You can't be the Christ. The church can't be triumphant. We can't have victory if you go and die on us. So we're not going to let that happen. We're going to reinterpret what you're saying to where we see it going. And Jesus is saying simply, Peter, you're thinking manward. You're thinking from a man's humanity's perspective. You're thinking from a natural state. Therefore, your answer is actually going to become a stumbling stone for me following my Father's voice. So get behind me. You haven't discovered it. And then he talks about taking up our cross. He talks about laying down our life, the suke, which is your soul life. And he says, unless we go through that process, then we're just not going to be able to get into the kingdom because we're going to keep rejecting what's being offered. We're going to see defeat as something to avoid and triumph as something to gain. When in many cases, defeat is triumph and triumph is defeat. If I've learned anything, to get my way is usually not God's plan. Right? I mean, how many of us have got our way and he sent leanness into our soul? We don't yield to the trust process. We just insist upon a need being met. So we say, I got to have my quail. I got to have my meat. And so he sends us the quail, answers the prayer, and sends leanness into our soul. So it's a journey, learning, learning, learning. Now let me take you to Ephesians 1, and we'll close with this. This happened, and let me, because it's honest to God truth. And I'm really grateful for the way the Lord entered this truth to me, the practice that it built, and the rewards it's given. When I was first saved, I was living in Thousand Oaks, probably now just 2-3 months old in the Lord. It was a coffee house, discipleship house, and we'd have different Bible studies on Tuesdays. And a man taught this Bible study about the apostolic prayers. So like 1976, right at the beginning of 77. And he said there's apostolic prayers, prayers that were prayed by the Apostle Paul that are recorded in Scripture. Two of them are in Ephesians, chapter 1 and, chapter 3. In fact, we did chapter 3 on Sunday when we were talking about my Father, who's the Father of all families in heaven and earth, would give to us according to riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in our inner man, Christ dwell in our heart by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. And that we comprehend with all the saints, all the width, the length, the depth, the height of love of God that passes all knowledge, that we be filled with the fullness of God. At this moment of my salvation, I can still remember the first thing I stumbled over was, what's an Ephesian? I did not know what an Ephesian was. I didn't know what Ephesus was. I'm Bible illiterate. So I have no grid to work with. Turn to Ephesians, somebody shows me, and he shows me these are apostolic prayers. The third one is in the first chapter of Colossians. And it's very easy to see because he says, I pray. So the theory was simply, if these prayers were prayed by Apostle Paul and they are recorded in Scripture, then they are Scripture's prayers in which we will pray that we can begin to be assured that they will be answered and that they're good prayers to be praying. And much of it really is, especially this first one, this prayer of revelation. So in chapter 1, verse 15, he takes us to this. So I'm just brand new. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then here's the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he works in Christ which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's one sentence. What? So he said, take this prayer, take these prayers, and just pray them. And I really thought, wow, I can do that. And so I would take the prayers. It turned after you pray them for a few weeks, you'll kind of, without trying to, memorize them. I didn't know I was really meditating Scripture by doing that, as well as calling for the very thing the Bible said, but by calling for the very thing Bible was saying, the very thing I was calling for, I was becoming, it was coming, it was happening. So he starts off, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. So I would go out and I'd say, I'm going to tell you the one event, and I think it was very shortly after I started this. I went off a walk in the early morning. It was up in an elementary school up in Thousand Oaks. It was a Saturday. There was nobody at the school. I'm in the lot, in the playground area, and I'm just going, God, God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give me, Father, I ask you. And you turn it into a prayer. Father, I ask you, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Who's you? Well, you're the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of glory. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The him is referring to the noun, Father. You're God of the Lord Jesus. You're the your Father. You want me, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father. That was a big discovery right there. Now, I kept going, and it's really interesting because it touches three dynamics. It says that we could know, eyes of understanding would be enlightened, eyes of my understanding. What eyes are those? And you really, that's how you kind of pray this prayer. You're kind of asking questions about what you're praying, because you're kind of, rather than just reading over it, you're kind of asking, and the more you're allowing the prayer to be pondered, the more there's revelation coming from the prayer. Eyes of my understanding, that to be enlightened. What is enlightened? The only thing I'd learned about enlightenment was Timothy Leary and LSD. I mean, that was illumination, and I'm thinking, oh God, is this what you're doing? And so you're kind of like, put it into perspective. What does it mean? You can sometimes use kind of a prayer like this. You get to just a portion of it, and you go, I got to figure out what enlightenment. And that's where you get a concordance. That's what I wanted. Why I want to teach us in a more practical sense, because you go get your concordance. You go, what is the word enlightenment? Where does it come from? What's the meaning? And you go, okay. So you want my eyes of my understanding to be enlightened, so that I can know. And that word "know" is a crazy word. It's the experiential knowledge, where we would say, "And Joseph did not know Mary until after Christ was born. They did not have intercourse, an intercoursing experience of knowledge." You could know, and then what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? So, calling, inheritance, and power. What is? You may know. What is? Hope of his calling. That'll stumble you, because, wait a minute. What is the hope of my calling? Now, you want me to know what the hope of your calling. Your calling. Where's your calling? You're calling in me? The calling you have to discover in me? What is a calling? It's a beckoning. I could know what hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance, glory of inheritance, in your inheritance, in me. And it's just, I didn't know that by praying the prayer, I was actually entering into revelation that I was praying inside of the prayer. And so that would that continue, but that's not the that's not that's that grows like that. What happened the day that I discovered God? I didn't understand in the sense of hearing His voice and having an encounter past my salvation of a, yes, you are the Christ, Son of the Living God moment. I believe that. I want to be saved. Was this idea, I'm walking around and all of a sudden I'm going, I'm talking to God. God's listening to me. Whoa. I'm talking to God. And you're listening to me. You're listening to me. You're my God. You're my Father. And I just, it just exploded. Now, what do I understand now is the eyes of my understanding just became enlightened in the knowledge of God my Father at the very primary beginning point, which is you listen to me and I can hear you. And it just didn't stop. You see, because revelation, when it's being uncovered, just it is it's a beckoning. It's like you just it just enlarge it keeps growing. It can keep growing. And it will touch emotions, it'll touch your mind, it'll touch your will, it'll touch your past, it'll touch your present, it'll touch your future. It'll touch His identity. Because no longer are you Simon, but now you're Peter. You may not know any of what it really means. You don't have a clue of what you're supposed to do with it. You don't even know what it really means in what you're hearing and can't interpret it correctly, but you're having an experience. And that experience is foundational. And it is to be sought after, I believe, according to Jesus' words, as the primary source of the entire church growing, maturing, and becoming a dominant, life-giving, you know, unconquerable, gates of hell can't prevail people. So, but for me, because I don't know any of this, that's 38 years ago. You're listening to me. I am talking to God. Sky is getting bluer. The trees are getting greener. The atmosphere is getting full of sparkly sense light. It's as though I'm having a revelation. I'm having a revelation, which I'd have to say is just like really kind of the introduction of the prayer revelation. I'm nothing about my calling, nothing about my inheritance, nothing about power. It's just you listen, you're hearing, you listen to me. I matter because you listen to me. I'm valuable because you listen. You know, it was just profound. And I came back to the house and I'm telling everybody, God's listening to me. And they're all looking at me like, okay, oh, so what? He listens to all of us. No, you don't understand. He's listening to me. Okay, yeah, we understand that, but so what? No, you don't get it. You don't get it. It's He's hears us. And it was just remarkable because when a revelation does impact you and you share it with those you love and they can't yet hear you or see nothing greater in what you're saying than what they already know, the good news is it doesn't take it away. You cannot be robbed of a revelation of God. Even if you walk away from it and say, I can't handle it and I don't even want to be responsible for knowing that, you cannot have somebody else talk you out of an experience. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument, because it's too late and you're marked and yes, I have so many things to learn. And yes, I had to so many ups and downs and ins and outs and misinterpretations, but that was the day that I began to see and observe the power of revelation and how it brought transformation through that identity. You're blessed. Father showed you something. You're blessed. Father showed you something. Now later on in life, and you're struggling with massive, complex problems, that you want solid physical answers, and you're forcing and trying to get God to deal with stuff that you want him to, and he comes into you and he does that thing again that he does. Steve, you're my son. That's everything. All right, I let go. I won't fight you. I won't struggle out. Yeah. And that's how you walk through Gethsemane's, because you don't need the, you'd rather stay in union with Father's will than get out of the problem and not come through the journey. So it's sustaining. It's life-changing. And you've had it happen. So I want to close, because I'm not dramatizing what happened. It really, really was that. It just was so rich. And I step right back into it today like it was yesterday. But God's promise is for every one of us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that so that the eyes of our understanding could be enlightened, so that we could know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power. I was biblically ignorant, never been in church my life. Closest thing I had to spiritual experiences prior to Christ was drugs. And that all of a sudden, I'm having an encounter. Simply because I stepped into a prayer, and in the prayer, God stepped into me. And then all of a sudden, and then you could continue to go back to build and so forth. So let's pray. It's 8:30 now. Dear Daddy, I love you, and it's amazing. I can still see the day, what it was like in the morning, and the colors and sandbox of the playground, and the feelings that you flooded me with. And really was identity. It was sonship. It was the beginning of acceptance. Boy, he didn't understand that. Didn't know how to process, and all of the things that occurred in my early years that affected me and marked me, and all of a sudden you were coming to me and gave me such value by listening and hearing, and wow. Lord, you know each of us here, and I believe that there is for each one here and on the internet, anyone listening at a later date or watching, there is for them and from you a spirit that you would grant of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. You, Father. We all had different fathers that brought us to this earth. But you, Father, to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, in knowing you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding could become enlightened. We could comprehend, that we could understand, that we could perceive the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance and the surpassing greatness, exceeding greatness of your power toward us. Father, we pray that with all our heart right now. Just tell the Lord in your own words, Lord, I'd like to have that happen. More, Lord. Open up more. Let me experience these truths, these dynamics, these essence, these substance of yourself in regard and relationship to me, to you. Your calling in me, your inheritance in me, your power toward me, and then in relationship to our entire body. your calling to us, your inheritance in us. Father God, as we practice this week, we go to wherever we go, whether it's just sitting in our car during our lunch hour and not listening to music, instead just rolling down the windows and opening that scripture and praying that prayer, or a walk, a corner of our bed, wherever point we could just separate from the other things and come to you. Would you just angelically help us, even though we may be unaware of it? And if it's dry or tough or dull or our minds floods with other thoughts and feelings, may we not yield to whatever discouragement and just like a child say, Daddy, we believe what you said is true, so we pray this prayer, not just a repetition but a or a memorization, but just a meditation, a ponder, a listening. And I pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth that you would grant every one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, beyond what we've known of you. I need to know more of you. And that you would grant us eyes of understanding and enlightenment. And that you would come into us in the very moment of our journey and say, here again the hope of my calling in you. And here again is the riches of the glory of my inheritance in you. And here again is all of my power towards you because you believe. And we feel, would it touch emotions, our mind, our thoughts? However you know, we need to hear and feel and see and experience. And we just to give permission for others not to see what we see or hear what we hear, and we give permission for anyone to, having seen something so wonderful, to be beside themselves trying to tell it to us. Lord, let it be. Let revelation explode in this house, in every home, every family, every marriage, every relationship, every child, every grandparent, a new and fresh experience of God in each of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well.